Today's shiur is Masechta Yuma, Daf Yud Ches. We will begin on Daf Yud Ches, on an Aleph, at the Mishnah on the fourth wide line. The Mishnah is now going to continue talking about the Kohen Gadol's preparation for Avodas Yom Kippurim. So as we had discussed, the Kohen Gadol was sequestered for the 7 days prior to Yom Kippurim, and teaches us the Mishnah, Masrulai Zekanim and Ziknei Bezdin. Zekanim from the Bezdin were provided for him. Vekarim Lefana Beseda Hayoim. And they would read for him from the Torah, the Parsha of Yom Kippur. He should know what he's supposed to do in the Avodas Hayoim. The Mefarshim point out that Apidin, one Zokain, should be adequate to teach the Kohen Gadol what he's supposed to do. However, two were given to him. One pshat I saw is because Toiv Mashnaim and Echad, it's always better to have two versus one. And another pshat is that they should be able to bear testimony that they indeed did what they were supposed to do in terms of teaching him the halachas. And after they finished reading to him the parasha in the Torah about the avoid of the Yom Kippurim, they would say to him, Ishi, the title, Master, Kohen Gadol, Kra Ata Beficha. Now you should read yourself what we taught you, Shem Shechachtab, in case you forgot, or Shem Lelamarat, in case you've never learned what you were supposed to. And Teres Yisrael says, why did they ask him to pronounce what he had learned? And he says, because the Gemara says, in the Masechta Ervin, the pasuk says, Ki Chaim Heim L'moitziyehem. It says the Gemara, Ki Chaim Heim L'moitziyehem B'peh. Somebody who articulates the words of Torah brings to himself life. It's a Hatzlocha in learning, and that's why they asked him to say it himself. Erev Yom Kippurim Shachris, Erev Yom Kippur in the morning, Mamid Moisa B'Shar Mizrach, they would put him up at the eastern gate of the Azara, Mavirim Lefana Parav Elam Kfosim, and they would lead before him ox, rams, sheep, Kadeshir Makav Rogab Avoida, so she could recognize them and be familiar what you're supposed to do in the Avoida Yom Kippur. So most Rishonim explained that the purpose of this was, again, it's all in terms of practice and preparation for Avoida Yom Kippurim. The Marshah, however, says that the actual animals that he was going to use tomorrow for the Avoida were the animals that were passed in front of him. So again, that should bring him to a higher level of recognition. The Yismach Yisrael explains that what was the purpose of taking the exact animals they was going to use and pass them in front of him. So he says that a Kohen Gadol who was going to do the Avoida in the Beis HaMikdash Yom Kippur could come to be a Bal Gaiva, that he was chosen to this very distinguished position to do the Avoid on Yom Kippur. So they passed in front of him the animals that he was going to bring for Kabbonis and say, just like these animals, although they will be the Kabbonis on Yom Kippur, we don't see that they become arrogant, we don't see that they become Bal Gaiva, so too you, the Kohen Gadol, should not let it get to your head. The Satmar Rebbe takes this Mishnah for a lesson in life. He says, when a person who is a Talmud Chacham, not strictly a Talmud Chacham, any person, is walking or talking or doing anything, he should always try to relate the circumstances that are around him, the environment in which he is, to Liman HaTorah and to Kiyum HaMitzvahs. Says the Satmar Rebbe, that's what the Mishnah is teaching us. As the Kohen Gadol would see animals, what was the job of the Kohen Gadol? He was to immediately relate that to Avodas Hashem and say, oh, these are the animals that I'm going to use for these kabbonis. And so to whenever you see something that you could use for Liman HaTorah or for Dvar Mitzvah, you should relate it to that. Says the Mishnah, Kol Shivas Yomim, all 7 days, they would now withhold from him any food or drink. So the Mefarshim explained that it says in Halacha that if a person can, he should fast during the Seres Yimei Tshuva. So when it says here in the Mishnah that did not withhold from him food, it meant at night. By day he fasted. Mishnah, Tosfos Yesharim asks that we know that a kohen is not supposed to drink intoxicating beverages while he's doing the avodah, and mishnah usually means an intoxicating beverage. So the Tosfos Yesharim quotes a Rivah that says that he would drink these intoxicating beverages at night when he didn't do our avodah, which the Sich Yitzchak has a problem with, because the halach is that when a kohen's mishmar is doing the avodah, he's not allowed to drink intoxicating beverages both by day and by night. Yet here we see that we allow him to drink at night. So he explains that the reason a kohen is not supposed to drink intoxicating beverages is because when he does the avodah, he's not supposed to be intoxicated. And at night, there was also the avodah. There was the avodah of Hector Avrim, of burning the limbs of the Karbonis. But since a kohen gadol never did that avodah, he only did avodahs by day, never did that avodah in the evening, so he was allowed to drink intoxicating beverages at night. Another pshat is when the mishnah says here, mishnah, it doesn't mean intoxicating beverages, it means beverages, but not intoxicating. Another pshat that I saw is that when is there a concern of intoxicating beverages, that's only when it's drunk by themselves. However, if they were drunk while eating food, they don't have the ability to intoxicate. So when it says here, machlu mishta, it means that he ate together with the drinking, and that's why there was no concern. Erev Yom Kippur in the evening, they did not allow him to eat much. Eating excessively could bring sleep, and as we will learn, we did not want the Kohen Gadol to sleep Yom Kippur by night, because we don't want him, Chas V'Shalom, to have an emission of Keri. And as the Yerushalmi asks, the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos that one of the Nisim that happened in the Beis HaMikdash was that Kohen Gadol never had experienced an emission of Keri. So why are we concerned not to let him sleep? He'll only be tired. It'll be more difficult for him to do the Avodah if we'll have that Nes anyway. So two answers are given. One answer is Ain't Soimchel al Nes. We never want to rely on a Nes. And another Teretz is that when did that Nes occur? It occurred in Beis HaMikdash Rishon. Our Gemara is talking about Beis HaMikdash Sheni, where that Nes did not necessarily occur, and that's why we did not allow the Kohen Gadol to sleep at night. Says the Gemara, Bishlam Hashem Shachach, I can understand that we have to make sure that the Kohen Gadol should learn about the Avodah Shem Kippurim, because he might have forgotten. L'chai, that's understandable. El Hashem Lo Lamad, but is there concern that he didn't learn? Mimuknin, the Kai Gavna, would we appoint a Kohen Gadol who can't learn, who didn't learn? V'tanya, it says in Pasuk, V'koyin HaGadol Miyachav. The Torah, in describing the Kohen Gadol, says, V'koyin HaGadol Miyachav, he's greater than all his brothers. Teaches us the Braisa, she gadol mi'echov, he should be greater than his brothers, b'koyach, he should be physically stronger. And the Mefarshim explained the reason he should be physically stronger is because, as we will be learning, the avoda of doing the k'tiris in the Beis HaMikdash is a very difficult avoda. You need strength, benoy, he has to be better looking than his brethren, again, because that will bring him respect. B'chachma, he has to be smarter, bigger Talmud Chacham, or Baisha, with wealth. So we see that Kohen Gadol has to be a Talmud Chacham. And the Mefarshim explain that in the situation where we have limited options who to appoint for Kohen Gadol, certainly the one who is the greatest Talmud Chacham is the one that should be appointed. Achayim Aymerim, the Chaim say, and the Mefarshim explained that the Chaim are not actually arguing on the Tanakhama, they're just expanding what he says. Menayin, Shem Eloi, that if the Kohen doesn't have Echav HaKohanim Megadol Isai, that his brethren should use their own funds to make him wealthier than them. Tamadayim Kohen Gadol Miechav, the Kohen Gadol should be greater. Gadleyu, he should become greater Mishalechav. His brother should support him, his fellow Kohanim should support him to make him wealthy. But what's related to us is that we see Kohen as Talmud Chacham. So what does the Mishnah say? Shem Eloi Lamad. And this is the halacha, that Kohen Gadol should be wealthier than all his other brothers, and he should take from them if he has to. The Chassam Sofer asks that the Gemara says many times, Soine matanos yichya, that a person should not take gifts. Yet here we see that the Kohen Gadol did take from his fellow Kohanim to become wealthier. So he answers that the Gemara says in Masechet Kedushin on Daf Zayin, that usually the way a Kedushin, the way a marriage is affected, is that the Chassan gives the Kala a ring or gives her money. What would be the halacha that if the Kala gave the Chassan money, but it was such a Chassan who was such a distinguished personage that it's an honor for him to for a person that he accepts a gift from that person. So with that Hanah, there's a Kedushin. Says the Chassam Sofer here too, it was an honor that the other Kohanim should be able to give the Kohen Gadol their funds, and therefore he was allowed to take from them. And the Tashbat says that this halacha does not only apply to Kohen Gadol, but applies to every Talmud Chacham, that there's an obligation to support the Talmidei Chachamim, that they should have enough to be able to learn. Not only that, Rav Chaim Volozhiner once had the following situation. There was a person who was a Talmud Chacham, was sinning and learning, and another person approached him and wanted to support him in his learning, and he refused. So Rav Chaim Volozhiner said, "You're wrong for refusing." And he explained, "If," he said, "you were really learning l'shem limud haTorah and not l'shem getting any reward, getting any schar, you would have no problem accepting support from someone else. The reason you're not willing to take support from someone else is because you're afraid that you're going to have to share the schar and olam haba. That's not the way a person's supposed to learn. A person's supposed to learn l'shem limud, l'shem the great mitzvah of limud haTorah." The Svarim explain, from Einloi, if the Kohen Gadol is an Einloi, he considers himself like a nothing, that is the person who's worthy to be the Kohen Gadol. But the Mishkan Yaakov says that if a person is going to be appointed Kohen Gadol, and he's in a situation where he has financial problems, and we're going to be giving him help, says the Mishkan Yaakov, first the brother Kohanim should give him the funds, and only after that should he be appointed for Kohen Gadol. He says, the Pasuk says, "For Kohen HaGadol Me'echov, Asher Yutzak Shem Min Al Roishon." So he says, "V'Kohen HaGadol Me'echov." First the Echov, first the brethren Kohanim should make him greater, should make him wealthy. And then, and only then, Asher Yutzak Shem Min Al Roishon, should we actually appoint him as Kohen Gadol. Says the Gemara, so if the Kohen of the Talmud Chacham, what's the concern of Shloi Lama? Omer Rav Yosef Lakasha, Kavim the Shrishin, and the base of the Shrishin, all the Kohanim, Gedoyle with Talmud Chachamim, Kavim the Sheni, they were not. Doma Ravasi, as Ravasi says, Takriv the Dinri, Ailele Matabas, Baisis Liyani Malka, Matabas Baisis brought a Takriv, which is a measure of three Kav, of Dinrim, to Yanai as a bribe, al the Ukmul Yeshuban Gamla Bakan Ravri, that she should appoint her husband Yeshuban Gamla as the Kohen Gadol. So we see that based Migdashani, the office of Kohen Gadol was just bought, and therefore that's how it can happen that a Kohen Gadol is not really a Talmud Chacham. And that explains the Svasemis is Pshat in the Mishnah. When the Mishnah says Shema Shachachta, Shema Lo Lamadato, Shema Shachachta is referring to Beis HaMikdash Rishon, where he was a Talmud Chacham, and the concern is that he forgot. Shema Lo Lamadato is Beis HaMikdash Sheni, where he might never have been worthy. Tosfos says that she brought it to Yanai HaMelech, so we see from here the appointment of Kohen Gadol was done by the king. And Tosfos says it's not referring to Yanai from Masechta Kedushin, who there he was a king, but he wanted the Kohen Gadol for himself. It's referring to a different Yanai who did not take the Kohen Gadol for himself. Tosfos Yeshanim asks that we find in a number of places of Shas that Yeshua ben Gamla was actually a very distinguished person. He was the one that established the system of yeshivas, of day schools for young children in Klal Yisrael. So how can we say that he wasn't Chashiv? So a number of terutzim are given. One terutz is that he was indeed Chashiv, but there were people who were more Chashiv than he, And the only reason he got the position was because he was, his wife paid for it. Another pshat is that when he was actually appointed, he really wasn't that distinguished. He only grew with the job after he was appointed. And in fact, some of Farshim say that from here we see that if a person is appointed to a position, or there are a number of candidates for a position, and one person may be greater than the other, but the other person has more potential, perhaps we should go with the person who has more potential. Another pshat is that there were two Yeshua ben Gamlas. And the last pshat is that truly Yeshua ben Gamla was worthy of this position. The issue here, however, in the Gemara is that look at what happened, says the Sfas Emes. You have a person as great as Yeshua ben Gamla, who should have received the position just because of his own merit, and he wasn't able to get the position until his wife had to pay for it. The Shulchan Aruch quotes a Yerushalmi that says that a judge who is appointed through having paid for his job, it's usur to go to such a judge for a dentira. And the Bach goes on to explain that this halacha applies even to one who did not offer any bribe. However, if the people who appointed him were partial in their appointment because of this candidate's wealth, his appointment is invalid since it wasn't based on merit. However, the Bach makes a distinction. He says, a person who received his position because he paid for it, he bribed for it, no matter, even if he is by himself a distinguished person, one does not offer him any respect and should not go to him for the entire. If on the other hand, the person got his position because the members of the committee were partial, but he didn't actually pay for it, and he is a worthy person, then you may go to him for the entire. So says the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Erev Yom Kippur Shachris, on the morning of Erev Yom Kippur, they passed in front of him all of the animals. Tana, we learned in the Brisa, Afa Seirim, they were also lead the goats, which were brought for Kapara before the Kohen Gadol. The Tana Don asked the Gemara, My Tamalai Tana Seirim, why doesn't our Tana include Seirim? Answers the Gemara, Kivin Da Chet Kaasu, since the purpose of bringing the Seirim was to be mechapa for Naveira, Choshadate, if the Kohen Gadol will see that he will become distressed. That Pasha Pshat, the Meiri explains, when they see that Klal Yisrael have so many Averis that they have to have all these Kabbonis, he'll be upset. And on Erev Yom Kippur, Rabbeinu Yoinah says, is a man of Simcha. Erev Yom Kippur is a Yontif, and it's not a time that the Kohen Gadol should be upset. Another pshat is, Chol Shadatai, he'll be upset, he's not going to know if he's going to be able to accomplish what he's supposed to accomplish. He's, Klal Yisrael needs a kapara, and he's going to have Chalisha Sadas if he could actually bring this kapara to Klal Yisrael. Answers the Gemara, ask the Gemara, Yehochi Paranami, so he shouldn't bring the axe in front of him either, because of Chaytasi, it comes also for kapara. Answers the Gemara, Par, Kivin the Olav al Achva Kahanim Hudasi, the purpose of the axe is to bring Kapar for him and his fellow Kahanim. Be'echa Kahanim, with any other Kohen, Ike Inish this by Milsa, if one of the Kahanim did an Aveira, may the Yodale, the Kohen Godel, is aware of that, or Mahadale B'tshuva, and makes that Kohen do Tshuva. The Kul Yisrael, however, the rest of Klal Yisrael, Lo Yodi, he's not that familiar what the situation in Ruchnius is. Amar Ravina, Hayadam Rinchi, this is what people say, Ibar Achachscha Dailahava, if your sister's son is a policeman, Chazoi Bishuk, if you see him in the street, Kameloi Tachlif, don't walk in front of him. Because since he's a policeman, and he knows what's going on with you, since he's your relative, there's a great concern that he's going to report you to the authorities, so don't be in his eyesight. It's the same thing here. The Kohen Gadol is aware of the ruchnistic situation of every one of the Kahanim, and therefore will make sure that they all do tshuva. The Gvur Sari asks, so why did they bring him Elim? The Elim also come for Kapara. So the Gvur Sari answers that the Elim were a carbon oil. A carbon oila is mechaper on an assay, if somebody transgressed the mitzvah's assay. Says the Gversari, it's very unlikely that anyone in Klai Yisrael was not over, did not transgress a mitzvah's assay. So when Kohen Gadol sees that, that won't disturb him so much, and that's why he could bring the Eilim. Says the Mishnah, Kashrus Hayomim, Lo Hayim Moedim. During the entire 7 days, we did not withhold from him food. Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda ben Kusa Omer, on Erev Yom Kippur, they would give him flour and eggs to eat, in order to loosen him. So Moshe Farshim explained that since on Yom Kippur, every time the Kohen Gadol would relieve himself, he would have to go to the mikveh, which is an entire procedure, we loosened him on Erev Yom Kippur, they wouldn't have to go to the bathroom on Yom Kippur. Other Mefarshim learn just opposite. Kedei Lamas Masoi means that it constipated him, again with the same purpose, that he should not have to use the bathroom on Yom Kippur. Amrloi, so they told him, this is fine, that it may solve the problem of him needing to use the bathroom on Yom Kippur, however, Koshkein, Shatam Mevil Dechimim, it can make him very hot, and could bring him to an emission of Keri, which we explain is very, something we want to avoid on Yom Kippur. And says the Gemara, based on that, that we do everything to avoid that the Kohen Gadol should have an emission. Tanya Simchas Oyim Meshum Rameya Ein Machilah Yisraeloi Avi. Avi is a Rosh Tevis, that we don't give him Avi teeth. We'll see what that means in a minute. V'amri Loi Loi Avavi Yesh Amrim Aflo Yain Lovin, we should not either give him white wine. Loi Avi, what does Avi mean? Loi Esroig, Loi Beit Eggs, Loi Yain Yoshin, not old wine. V'amri Loi Loi Avavi, what does Avavi stand for? Loi Esroig, Loi Beim, eggs, Loi Basa Shomein, not fatty meat, Loi Yain Yoshin, not old wine, V'yeshamer Af Loi Yain Lovin, also not white wine, Menesha Yain Lovin, maybe it's Adam Dei Tumah, you could bring a person to Tumah. There's a Machloikis exactly when we prevented the Kohen Gadol from eating these foods. The Rambam says there was only an Erev of Yom Kippur that we did not allow him to eat these foods. However, the Maril says that all 7 days that he was sequestered, we did not allow him to eat any of these foods. And the minig that we have is that, although we're not Kohanim Gedolim, but the remark quotes the minig that by the Suda Mafsekis, the last Suda that we eat on Erev Yom Kippur, the remark quotes the Maril that we should not eat these types of foods, and that's why we do not eat meat. But at Suda, the meaning is to eat poultry, not meat. Tana Rabbanan, Zov Tana Loi B'machal. A Zov, if he has an emission, if we could say that it came because he overate, that's what we say. So, in a way of introduction, Ziva is one of the emissions that could cause Tumah. If a person only has one emission of Ziva, he has the same din as a Balkeri, he goes to the mikveh, and then he has Harif Shemesh and Iftar. However, if he has two emissions within 2 days or less, he becomes a Zov, and he requires Zayin Nikiyim, 7 clean days. 3 emissions, he's a Zov, and he also has to bring a carbon. However, for that second emission, it only has to come naturally. If there's an outside factor which might have caused that emission, then he's not considered a Zov. So says the Braisa, Zov Tana Loi B'machal, a Zov that overate and then has an emission of Ziva, we say it came because he overate. The Komini Machal, any type of food. Allah Zav Ben Pichas Meshimer Yehuda Be'emer, Ein Machil Ha'asar Loi Chavi, Loi Chagvi, Loi Gavam, Loi Kol Dvar Ma'mivin Lo Dutuma. We shouldn't give a Zov to eat all these different types of foods. Loi Chagvi, what does that mean? Loi Cholov, milk, like vina is cheese, lebe is eggs, layayin is wine. Like gavim is made greasim, the juice of pounded beans, ubas is shamein, fat meat, umurius is fat, is fish fat. Like kol dvar hamavina de tumah, lasuya mai, what does that come to include? Lasuya hadaton rabbanon, chamisha dvar hamavina sodom de tumah. 5 things could bring a person to have an emission of ziva. Velem hashum, garlic, hashichlaim is cress, Chagalgalos is some sort of a herb. Habayim is eggs. Fagagir is rocket. Also a type of a plant. These things could bring a person to day ziva. And like the Mefarshim explain, once a person is a Zav, he has to have Zayin Nekiyim. He has to have 7 clean days. If during those 7 days he has an emission, even if the emission could be attributed to an outside factor, he still remains Tameh. So therefore, during these 7 days, we were very careful not to allow the Zav, who is trying to become clean from eating any of these foods, to be able that he should achieve Tahara. The Tosfos Yeshanim asks, what will be the halacha on a Kohen? All these foods that we just mentioned, will a Kohen Gadol also be prohibited from eating? So Tosfos Yeshanim says that he would be allowed to eat it, because he says that the concern by a Kohen Gadol is less. All the Mefarshim say that the concern by a Kohen Gadol is keri, and this is ziva, semen versus ziva, and different things bring keri versus bringing ziva. However, there are many Rishonim that disagree with the Tosfos Yeshanim and say that all of these foods that were just mentioned are also usher for Kohen Gadol to eat on Erev Yom Kippur, or according to the Maril, for 7 days before Yom Kippur, just like a Zav can't eat these foods because we're concerned that they may cause an emission. The Pasuk says, since we mentioned the Gargar, the Pasuk says in Melachim, V'yetzi echad al sada lalaket iris. One of them went out to gather iris. Tanim Shmed Remeya ze Gargar. What are iris? It's called the herb that's called racket. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, lama nikrishma iris? Why is it called iris? Iris means light. Shimi iris es einayim. It makes a person light up his eyes. It helps the vision. Amar Rav Huna, hamoitzi gargar. If somebody finds this racket herb, im yochel achal oichloi. If he can eat it, he should eat it. It'll help his vision. Vimlav, if he can't eat it, let's say it's in the street where a person is not supposed to eat, mavira gaba einov. He should put it on top of his eyes. Amra Papa, Begagri Matsuna. When does this work? It works when it grows on the boundary, when there are no other vegetables or growth around it to sap its nutrients. So it's a very strong herb and has the ability of helping one's vision. Amrav Gidla Marav, Achisnoi. Somebody who stays overnight at someone else's home, Lo Yoichel Beim, should not eat eggs. Nor should he sleep in his host's garment, because we're concerned that Chas V'Shalom he may have an emission, and if he has an emission, it will be very embarrassing in front of the host. That's why don't wear his clothing that it should be noticeable that he had an emission, nor eat eggs, which we learned in the previous Gemara could cause an emission. Another pshat is, the concern is that the host should not come to accuse him that he had relations with his wife. Another pshat that I saw is that when a person is on the road, so since his wife is now with him, there's a greater concern that he may have an emission because he doesn't have his wife available for him to have relations with her, and therefore the halacha is that he should do everything to prevent from having it. The Mefarshim point out why raw eggs versus anything else, because raw eggs are similar, look very similar to semen, and that's why there's a greater concern with raw eggs versus anything else. Rav ki mikla ladarshish. When Rav would come to the city of Darshish, Machris, he would announce, Man Havel Yoyma, who is willing to be my wife for the day that I'm here? Rav Nachman, Kamaklu Lashantziv, when Rav Nachman came to Shantziv, Machris, he would announce, Man Havel Yoyma, who is agreeable to be my wife for the day? So, before we get into the Gemara, the Ben Yoyada gives a background to this Gemara. And he says that in these cities, because he says it doesn't look nice that these Rabbonim, these great people, cannot withhold themselves, and one day they had to have a wife available to them all at a time. So he explains that in these cities the people had the habit of getting married very late. They said there's always time to get married later, and so these Talmidei Chachamim wanted to show them that what they were doing was wrong, and they showed them how important it is to be married, that even if we're going to only be in the city for one day, and afterwards we're going to leave the city, we still are careful to have a wife, even for one day. Certainly you should not postpone getting married. And the Mefarshim also asked that the Gemara says in Masechta Nedarim that a person is not supposed to have relations with a person who he intends to divorce. It would be called B'nai Grushas Alev, because the children born from such relations are going to have problems if the parents were intending to divorce when they had relations. So here, if they were only intending to be married to these people for one day, how could they have relations? So a number of truths are given. One tarot says that issue is only if the woman is not aware that her husband is going to divorce her, but if she's aware, that issue isn't there, and here they were certainly aware that this was a temporary situation, or they married women who weren't of childbearing age, and therefore there was no concern that the children would be affected because of this. Another tarot says that their intention were the women to become pregnant, they weren't divorcing. Ask the Gemara, how could someone do such a thing? Get married in this city, just for one day. But Tanya, we learned in a Braisa, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Oimer, Lo Yisa Adam Isha Medina Zu. A person should not marry a woman in this city. V'yelech V'yisa Isha Medina Acheres, and then marry another woman in a different city. Shem Yizdav Guzer Tzelzeh. Maybe they'll have children, and these children and those children will not know about each other. A brother could end up marrying his sister. And then the children of such a union would be mamzerim. Regarding such a situation, it says, so marrying a woman in such circumstances should be usur. And the Sfasem says, this is only in those times where the methods of communication were weak, and people weren't aware of things that happened in one city to the next. Furthermore, it's only when the first person's wife in the first city is still alive, he did not divorce her, but if he had already divorced his first wife in the other city, or she had passed away, it would be mutter. So how here, where that wasn't the case, were these rabbonim allowed to marry a woman for one day? Answers the Gemara, Amri Rabbanan Kalaslu. Since these people were Rabbanim, and when they married a woman, everybody was aware of it, and they would not have this concern that brother Chas V'Shalom may marry a sister. But ask the Gemara, there's a different concern. Vama Rava, Rava taught us, Tivol Lini Nosei V'Nespaisa. If a man proposed marriage to a woman and she agreed to marry him, Tzricha Leishiv Shevnekiyim, from the proposal to the actual marriage, there has to be at least 7 days. Because we're concerned that at the time of the proposal, she had an emission of blood. It's called dam chimud. The desire that they're ultimately going to have relations causes an emission of dam. And therefore, she has to sit shiv in the kiyim. And Allah is during every one of those days, she has to examine herself that she's clean. So here, how could they just arrive and get a woman to marry them? They have to have the zayin nikiyim. And Tosfos points out that this halacha even applies to a ketana, to a minor, this requirement. So the Gemara could not have given a teretz that the woman they married was a ketana. Moreover, the Pesukim say that why didn't the Gemara before, when the Gemara asked that they may have children, say that he marries a woman who is a ketana that can't have children? So Farshim say, because Allah is a person, Chathila should not marry a ketana. So the Gemara did not want to use that teretz. So how could they just arrive and announce that they want to get married? Answers the Gemara, a Rabbanan I do have a Maidalhu. The Rabbanan would send the messengers ahead of the time, the Kadmi have a Kadmi Mashad Vishlucha, they would send messengers before they arrived to give the women the adequate time to prepare themselves with these 7 clean days before they got married. Vibay same, another teretz. They only were private with these wives. They lived privately with the wives, but they never actually had relations. And the purpose of that was, since he was allowed to be misyachid with these women, there's no concern that he will have any emission of keri, and that was the entire purpose. So that's Rashi's pshat. According to Rashi, they didn't actually get married, they didn't actually have relations, that they only were secluded, And that's why there is no need for the 7 days. But Tosfos asks that we know that halacha is that if a person, even if he's married to a woman, if they never had relations, cannot be mesyachid, that you can't be secluded alone. So how could they be secluded if they weren't going to have relations? So Tosfos says that then does not apply to a person who was previously married. Only someone who was never married and now gets married and his wife he can't have relations with, there he's not allowed to have yichud with her. But if this man already was once married, that then doesn't apply. Another test that Rishonim give is that we're dealing here with a Talmud Chacham, and this din that a person is not allowed to be misyachid with this woman is only on a regular person, not a Talmud Chacham. However, just for the record, the halacha is that under all circumstances, we paskin yichud be asa. But Tosfos has an entirely different approach to the Gemara. Tosfos says that these women were told that the Rav who's marrying her has no intention of having relations with her. Since she was told that, there was no Dam Chimud. Because Dam Chimud only comes from the anticipated relationships that will occur. But here, since no relationship will occur anyway, so there was no Dam Chimud. And that's why they could immediately be together with the woman and even have relations. Because there was no time for the Dam Chimud to come. The Mishnah continues how we prepare the Kohen Gadol for Yom Kippur. Mesru Zikne Bezdin Zikne Kahuna. The Zikne Bezdin passed over the coin to the Zikne Kahuna. The Vilu Beis Aftinus, and they were taken up to the Aftinus chamber, was causing the next year what he did there. Vishbiu, and they made him swear. Vinifter Vaholchu, and then they left. And Mishnah tells us what was the Shvua. Vamalai, they said to him, Ishi Kohen Gadol, the master of the Kohen Gadol, Ana Shluchei Bezdin, we are agents of the Bezdin. Vata Shlucheinu v'Shluch Bezdin. You two are our agent and agent of the Bezdin. Mashbir Alach B'misha Shikin Shmoy B'Yisazeh. We swear by the one who has his name resting in this house. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shlo Tishana Dov Mekom Asher Amarnu Lach. You shouldn't change anything from what we said. For who Parish B'Yisazeh, he would turn aside and cry. For Heim Parish B'Yisazeh, and they would cry. The purpose of the Shvua is because, as we will learn, that Stoikim had a very fundamental machlokes with the Purushim, how the Ketores should be offered. We, the Purushim, held that the Ketores should be prepared only in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. They, on the other hand, held that it should be prepared outside and be brought in already prepared. So since we were concerned that the Kohen Gadol may be a Stoiki, that's why we made him swear that he would do what he's supposed to. Tfash Yisrael says that they would say the Shvua and the Kohen Gadol would have to respond with an Amen. The Merame Sada says they would not have to respond with an Amen because since the Shvua that's imposed by a Bezdin, even without the Amen, the Shvua is effective. The Mefarshim ask the obvious question. According to the Tzadiki, he is supposed to prepare the Ketores outside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. If we make him make a Shvuah that he's only going to prepare it inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, it's a Shvuah Levatel HaMitzvah. It's a Shvuah that we make him go against the Mitzvah. And the halach is that a Shvuah Levatel HaMitzvah is not a Shvuah. So what, the Tzadiki won't have any problem making the Shvuah, because he knows that it's not an effective Shvuah, because it's going against the Mitzvah. A number of terutzim are given to this question. One terutz is that the Tzadikim were not 100% sure that they were right in the way they explained the Pasuk. So to go so far and accept a Shvuah when they're not certain that they're doing the right thing, they wouldn't have. Another terutz given is that the Tzadikim don't believe in this concept of Shvu Levatel HaMitzvah, because that is only something that the Rabbanim taught us isn't effective, and the Tzadikim don't believe in what the Rabbanim teach us. Another teretz given is that it's a Shvua Shvav. It's a false Shvua. It's a Shvua in vain. That the Tzadikim agree is prohibited. Another teretz given is that what they told him was, we are appointing you as a Kohen Gadol only on the condition that you follow our direction. If not, your appointment is totally ineffective. So he would realize that he's not Kohen Gadol. That's why it's a good shvuah. Another tire it's given is that the shvuah was not only about this issue, where the Tzadiki could incorrectly believe that he has the right to make the shvuah. They also included other subjects, which the Tzadiki had to make a shvuah on. And the halach is that a shvuah, that it partially is a required shvuah, or a halachically valid shvuah, is effective even on the other part. Shvuah sakoilu, it's called. And that's why it's a legitimate shvuah. Another text that I saw is that since the shvuah was made in the Beis HaMikdash, Erev Yom Kippur, even a Tzadiki would realize how significant and serious of a situation it is, and therefore he would not swear falsely. Another text that I saw is from the Satmar Rebbe. Satmar Rebbe says that when we look in the Machzor about this part of the preparation of Kohen Gadol, it says Shemet Tzad Minos Yeshbay. Maybe that's a tzad, a partial minus. So he explains as follows. Certainly, a person who was appointed to be the Kohen Gadol, enough investigation was done to make sure that he was not a tzadiki. What the concern was that maybe he had the beginning of a tzadiki in him, a tzad minus. It was just starting to grow. So that's why, in order to make sure that it would not chas v'shalom develop into anything more than that, we right away make a shvua, which will prevent him from going any further in doing the wrong thing. The Tfas Yisrael asks, we understand that he had to make a shvua, but why is there a need to make a shvua every year? Why can't he make a shvua one time when he's appointed to the position of Kohen Gadol, and that shvua should be for the rest of his life? So the Tfas Yisrael answers that since we wanted to strengthen this and make sure that he didn't do the wrong thing, every year from new we made a shvua. And that's why I saw l'alach l'maisa. If somebody works at a position in which he's supposed to make a shvua that he will keep what he knows confidential, a new shvua can be made every year, and it's not an issue where you could say, well, I made a shvua when I took the job, I don't have to make a new shvua every year. The Mefarshim also ask that it says in Halacha that during the service you made tshuva, a person should not take a shvua. And here we're talking Erev Yom Kippur, so how could he make a shvua? So the simple teretz is that the only shvua that should not be taken is a shvua that could be delayed for after Yom Kippur. The whole point of the Shavuah is that the Shavuah has to take place before Yom Kippur, so therefore the Shavuah may take place even on Erev Yom Kippur. Another teretz is that the only type of Shavuah that's also during Seder Yom Kippur is something that has to do with financial matters. Financial matters could be, you could forgive it altogether. But a Shavuah that has to do with Issa V'Heter, as we're describing now, could take place even during Seder Yom Kippur. Another teretz is that only a shvua about the past, where somebody's going to make a shvua something did or didn't happen, cannot take place during the Seder Yom Kippur. But a shvua about the future, that could take place even during the Seder Yom Kippur. Chaim Kamenetsky answers that a shvua here is a shvua that both sides agreed to take the shvua. That shvua could take place during the Seder Yom Kippur. Only a shvua where one of the sides is not willing to take the shvua cannot take place during the Seder Yom Kippur. Here, where he's agreeable to take the shvua, it could take place even Erev Yom Kippur. But point out the Mefarshim. Look at the situation. We have here a person who was appointed Kohen Gadol. It's Erev Yom Kippur, and he's Kodesh HaKadoshim. And still we have to make sure that he shouldn't do the wrong thing. Continues the Mishnah. Imay Chacham, if the Kohen Gadol was a Chacham Darish, he would lecture all night of Yom Kippur. Vimlav, if not, Tamid Chacham Darish in front of. Tamid Chacham would say Divrei Torah in front of him. From Ragel Likris Kairi, if he was used to reading Tanakh, he should read. From Lav Karim Lefonov, if not, we should read for him. Ma Karim Lefonov, what they read for him? Be'iyev, be'ezra, be'divrei hayyamin. Sechayv ben Kvutalaymer, Pamahabi, many times, Karisa Lefonov Daniel, I read from him from Sefer Daniel. The Rishash says, of course, the best is if the Kohen could read himself. But if he can't read himself, then we read for him. And the reason these three Sfarim are chosen, so the Tveres Yisrael explains, there are three types of speeches or lectures that get people interested. One is philosophical, which is represented in Iyuf. The other thing is something which is emotionally stirring, which is represented in Ezra, how Klal Yisrael came back to Mitzrayim, to Eretz Yisrael. And the third is stories, which is represented by Divrei Yomim. The Sikh Yitzchak, on the other hand, explains that these three Svarim, again, since we're so concerned that the Kohen should not be a Tzdoiki, and he should do what he's supposed to do, all represent that. Eiv represents that a person is supposed to do what Hashem wants. Ezra, in Ezra we learn, says the Siach Yitzchak, how Ezra separated out of Klal Yisrael the Kutim and all the other Pasala people. Here too, a Tzdoiki is different and should be separated, so a person should not be one of the Tzdoikim. And Divrei Yomim represents the concept of Mesorah, of a tradition going from one generation to the next generation, and that's the whole Yisoid, and that's the whole foundation of the Purushim versus the Tzdoikim, that we follow the Mesorah of generation to generation, and that's why this forum was specifically chosen to read in front of the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur by night.